Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. So many of you have heard me talk about Joni Erickson Tada. I have dubbed her a hero of the faith, and certainly she is that to me. She's a quadriplegic, but her life in a wheelchair has changed the lives of literally millions of people around the world. In fact, her chair has become her crown. Out of the overflow of a life spent in that chair, she has been able to bless multitudes of people. And I have such fond memories of Joni Erickson Tada doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast, coming into the studio, and I have seen firsthand all that it takes for a quadriplegic to get ready to do a radio broadcast. And so I have, again, dubbed her a hero of the faith, not just to millions, but to me. She wrote a book about heaven. And in that book, she gives a biblical portrait of what heaven is. But so many today are not getting their notions about heaven from Scripture, but now are getting their notions about heaven through the experiences of those who say they have been there via a near-death experience. Of course, one of those stories is the story of Colton Burpo. It is now a blockbuster book and a blockbuster movie. But subsequent to 3-year-old Colton Burpo's return from heaven, 6-year-old Alex Malarkey allegedly traveled there as well. And as such, the boy who came back from heaven purports to be the true story of Alex's direct experience with angels, demons, and yes, with the devil himself. But there's a story behind the story. And that story comes from Alex's mother, Beth. And quite frankly, after having talked to her, she seems to be a hero of the faith as well. She has said overtly and directly that the words in the book are not Alex's words at all. As she put it in a Facebook message to me, "Hank, my son is being exploited. My son tried to speak on the wrongs of this book, but he has been silenced. After surviving a horrific car accident, being in a coma for 2 months, and to this very day continuing to struggle with the after effects of brain trauma, Alex cares more about truth than temporary benefits. Even though the most expedient thing for Alex and his mother to do would be to continue to promote the published work as true, they are deeply committed to truth instead." She wrote me, and this is what she said: "Dear Hank, my name is Beth Malarkey. I am the mom of Alex Malarkey, who is the subject of the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. I wanted to let you know that I agree, as does Alex himself, that the book is deceptive and biblically wrong. Thank you for standing and teaching truth." And Alex has gone on to say, not only that the book is false, but that He cares very much about the circumstances surrounding those who might be deceived by the book. And I love what Beth said. She says, I'm not a medical professional. The letters after my name are M-O-M, Mom. And my lessons have been learned on the road of life. And then she writes, this past week, a movie based off of the book Heaven is for Real came out, and I'm strongly opposed to the movie. Let's just say that the Burpo book and movie, and the book that has Alex's name listed on as co-author, have a few things in common. And one of the things that she says they have in common is a few strategically placed scripture verses. And then she writes, Alex is the only one who has endured not only the horrific set of injuries, but has endured having the journey or his journey capitalized on. His struggles are not past tense, nor is this story. And with that, I want to introduce Beth Malarkey to the radio audience, because the story continues. And Beth, I am grateful that you have agreed to come on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and tell your story.
Well, thanks, Hank. That's quite the introduction there. I'm going to try to maintain my myself here and not cry like I typically do, but I have like post-it notes everywhere of things that just thoughts that come to my mind regarding these issues. Your very opening on your show says that life and truth matters, and I think that packs such a punch right there, because especially in this case here, one of the things that's happened is with my son, I'm not here to tell his story, because that's kind of what has happened, is individuals have taken bits and parts of words that may have been said or not said, twisted, embellished, and then took his name and literally put it on the cover of a book, and without my knowledge and without his knowledge, and not only put it there, but have continued to sell it despite us trying to stop it. And no matter what I've tried to say, he's tried to say, the protection of the story has become more important than the very life of Alex himself. And I mean that in a very real sense, that individuals that are promoting this book, not getting into specifics of the names, because I don't know all the people involved in the actual marketing, but they know that Alex is still ventilator dependent, despite some things that were indicating that he is off the ventilator. He still has complicated set of injuries that makes his day-to-day life, he's full care. It's very challenging life. And truth in the very word of God is getting twisted. And I have to go, I think that's what puzzles me the most and what I've got my eyes open to, is there were many things that I was in error for, you know, and as my eyes get open more by reading the Word and studying the Word and the Word itself, what God says, not what's written in a book written by man, but going what God says, that truth is so absolutely important. And what he wrote, what he had man write, the scriptures themselves, the sufficiency of scriptures, how much we're starting to look outside of them to get a glimpse into something that if God would have intended us to know, he would have wrote it. And yet we're looking at it, and now we're looking to little boys, and then they're little boys. Alex said, you know, I could say I was a unicorn and I was riding on a rainbow, and, you know, and I was, Yeah, I always talk about I was a mermaid. I wanted to be a mermaid with a kid. So if I said that to you and it happened to be able to be packaged well enough to sell, does that make it true? So I appreciate the opportunity. I guess I've kind of just kind of went into stuff, but I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show and just try to be a voice because, again, I don't want to be a voice for my son. Although it's his mom, he needs protected because I'm wondering who's protecting Alex Malarkey. If you get on the Internet and get on YouTube, there's YouTube videos that have curse words all over them. I've seen things directly saying things about Alex because they believe he's, you know, co-written this book, that he is promoting it. He's not promoting it as Colton Burpo is openly. And I don't want to go into tit for tat with the Burpos or anything like that, but I'm just speaking for my son. You will not find a recent or anything that's come out since the book first was released in which he has agreed with it, spoken for it. In fact, instead, he wrote in 2011, he got brave enough to write on Facebook on the fan page that was one of the most deceptive books ever. And that got removed from the fan page, and he got blocked from further commenting. But because he had wrote the post himself, it's still on his Facebook page.
Wow. You know, a lot of what you have said is already extraordinarily helpful, but it's also illuminating to people out there listening to what you have to say in terms of how someone could be represented to believe something that they don't believe at all. For example, in the book it says, and these are allegedly the words of Alex, there are lots of buildings in heaven, but I only really notice the temple. God never leaves the throne in the temple. There's a scroll in a glass container. It describes the end times. No one can read this scroll but Jesus. And later on in the book, there is question and answer session with Alex. And in that question and answer session, Alex is alleged to have said that he's, well, for all intents and purposes, a mixture of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John. He can do what Paul cannot do. In other words, Paul was not able to reveal what happened when he went to heaven. But what John can do, Alex allegedly can do as well. For example, John describes the New Jerusalem, and so can Alex. But what they describe doesn't mesh. And that's why I think it's particularly noteworthy that I think Alex becomes a hero when he is speaking out against this book, because in the book he is alleged to say that he saw the temple. But if you look at what John says, I did not see a temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. And as I've said on this broadcast many times, this is not a trifling matter. When Jesus comes, there is no need for temple or sacrifice, for the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. So the fact that Alex cares about truth, I think, makes all the difference in the world. And quite frankly, the fact that you're willing to come on the broadcast and say, these are not the thoughts or words of Alex, this is not what he experienced, I think is going to help a lot of people.
Well, I think the thing to remember, too, is Alex was 6 at the time of the accident. What I believe is not written about in the book, because I, to be honest, I've not read the book. I've lived the life that's somewhat, I guess, journaled there, but we each have our own story. We each have our own journey. No one should write somebody else's without their permission. And you know, you can get a little tricky when you're trying to, especially when you're answering questions for someone else. Only that person has had that story and experience. So when you have a 6-year-old, and at the time this book came out, I think he was 9 or 10, when you have a child that young, you have to be very careful that you're not leading them to say certain things. And then, you know, there's that kind of, did he really say this? Did he not say this? What part did he actually say? I've heard a lot of that, like, did he really see this? Well, didn't he say this back then? Didn't he, you know, was this true and not true? I think the whole fact that you're questioning whether it's true or not from the words of a boy that was in a very traumatic situation is reason for great concern.
Wow. We're talking to Beth Malarkey. This is a riveting edition of the Christian Research Institute's Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, Beth Malarkey is the mother of Alex Malarkey. Of course, Alex Malarkey is the subject of a New York Times bestseller, allegedly co-authored with Kevin. Kevin and Alex Malarkey, a true story, it says on the cover, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. After we come back from the break, we're going to ask about Alex, how he is doing. And then we're going to talk about heaven, what heaven is really like, as we continue this discussion with Beth Malarkey. Again, a riveting edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back in just a few moments with Beth Malarkey.
If heaven is for real, who gets to go there? What happens to those who have never heard of Jesus? Is hell for real? In Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, Hank tackles these and other questions about your eternal future with his no-nonsense biblical answers. Afterlife is our thank you when you support CRI's broadcast and other outreaches today. Request your copy with your gift by visiting equip.org or calling 888-7000-CRI. And thank you for making more ministry possible. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. C.S. Lewis once said, enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. As dozens of spiritual and moral indicators make increasingly clear each and every day, the American church is surrendering hard-won ground to the forces of secularism and atheism. The sad and alarming truth is that enemy-occupied territory is expanding. The good news is that growing numbers of Christians are painfully awakening to these brutal realities. Unless we join together to mount a great campaign of sabotage, our children and grandchildren will reap the exceedingly bitter harvest of our indifference and apathy. To enlist in a growing army of committed Christians willing to take a stand for life and truth, go online now to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. To a true freedom fighter, there is a thought more chilling than losing a critical battle. It's running out of ammunition and not being able to defend what is more precious to him than life itself. As I survey the battlefield today and contemplate the ever-mounting assaults on biblical truth, my mind irresistibly turns not only to our ability as Christians to hold our ground, but to reclaim precious ground lost to a rising tide of secularism. Yet whether we're holding ground or advancing into occupied territory, the prayers and financial support of our ministry partners are the ammo that make the fight possible. Without your support, a genuine advance is unthinkable. With your support, we can turn the tide. To help ensure our readiness for the battles we will encounter in the days ahead, and to help us ensure that you are equipped to defend biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now. That's 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We have the privilege to speak with Beth Malarkey on this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The backdrop to all of this is the New York Times bestseller, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, subtitled A Remarkable Account of Miracles, Angels, and Life Beyond This World. It says on the cover, a true story, and it's by Alex and Kevin Malarkey. And Beth is pointing out that this is not the story of Alex Malarkey at all, and that Alex Malarkey himself, who is a quadriplegic, is opposed to this book. And before we go back to Beth, I want to note what was said by Elizabeth Hillstrom. She's a professor of psychology emeritus at Wheaton, and she wisely warned that, quote, it is possible that some near-death experience accounts are grossly exaggerated or are even outright fabrications concocted for profit, publicity, or attention. Currently, there is a very strong market for book-length accounts of near-death experiences, and unfortunately, many readers are willing to accept such accounts at face value. This creates a situation that is ripe for exploitation by unscrupulous storytellers. And Beth, in many ways, you are talking about the fact that there are some unscrupulous storytellers behind the story of Alex, because this is not how it happened at all.
You know, Hank, yeah. I have a lot of emails that I guess I've saved. And the sad thing is that I just actually was looking at one today where I guess someone was trying to get some information out of Alex by playing into the Alex had spoke about wanting to be a missionary. And so this person was trying to tell Alex that if he'd say certain things, basically go along with, I think, a storyline. The whole thing is the storyline was never discussed or told to my son nor I. And, it's really funny because that's the whole thing. A story was being created, a project was being done, and the boy who's at the center of it, one, was never clearly laid out that the storyline was going to be all centered on his so-called heavenly experiences. And I say so-called because, you know, again, I didn't have a traumatic experience. So what, as a six-year-old, he experienced or didn't experience, I can't really comment on that. That's his. I wasn't laying on a roadside where I was so bad that a coroner was called. I didn't wake up in a hospital room at 6 years old, unable to move and unable to breathe. I can't comment on those things. But what I can comment on is what I've watched and seen. and people taking words from a little boy and embellishing them, yes, twisting them, yes. And when the boy said, I don't want to talk about that. Actually, Hank, when you were on break there, I knew I had this somewhere. I had printed off, I don't have the exact page from the book, but it's under something where I'm not allowed to tell you part. And it's talking about the very thing you were talking about in question and answer, where, you know, about Paul and John. And it says that when I try to talk to Alex, and this is his father, when I try to talk to Alex about heavenly things, he is almost always uncomfortable. Some items he isn't permitted to discuss. Other times he struggles to find the needed vocabulary. I think we probably could stop there, but I'm going to read just a little bit more. It can be difficult for him to determine what falls into those limited areas and what he can reveal. Another reason Alex is sometimes reluctant to share all he has seen in heaven is that he feels as if he is telling everyone. You know, I can go, you know, I'm going to stop there because I could go on. And I think that's enough right there to, again, raise concern. And I think that's the whole thing that I'm sitting here watching these stories, and it's brought light to so many other stories, you know, all of the heaven genre, but more specifically, the ones that are being written by those that profess to be Bible-believing. So you're reading the Word of God, and then you're writing a story with accounts that are not in that Word. If Revelation 22:18 says, woe to you, and you're adding things that are not in, you can say, well, they're not really adding it. You know what? They are. Because nowhere in Scripture does it describe Satan as a guy with a moldy teeth, or however it was described, or the Burpo story with, you know, Jesus on the rainbow horse, or, you know, whichever one of these books you want to pick some things out, they're not in the Scriptures. There's great concern of what's being done, the embellishment, the twisted, you know, the merchandising, and that's what we had talked about. It's so clear to me, but I guess I sit in a position that the clarity comes from being where I'm at, as I've watched things go on that have shocked me beyond belief. The world wants you to try to take an easy, well, why can't you do this? How to get this far? I would like to know that, too. How did it ever get this far? How did it ever start? In 2009, 2010, when the project was being done, Alex Malarkey had the worst 2 years that he had had since his accident. He was developing a curve in his back that went to 90 degrees. It's called a neurological curve. He would end up having a surgery that corrected his spine, but what it did, because of his injuries, his body did a very dramatic reaction to that surgery. And he and I went back and forth to the hospital, I think it was five times. I think it's five times total the following year. And at one of those times, the doctor gave me the death talk. She thought for sure he was going to die. This was why a book was being promoted about the blessed life of the little boy. So, it's what is your goal here? Because you're selling a story that, but your concern is more for the sales. And, again, sales are lucrative, I think. I don't see the dollars.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because it seems to me that this benefits your family. I mean, you have a New York Times bestseller, and this would benefit your family. This would benefit Alex. This would help alleviate some of the financial costs that are associated with the struggle that he's going through and that you're going through with Alex physically. So it seems really counterintuitive that you would be speaking out against the very book that could help you financially.
Well, first of all, it's not about money. It's about truth. And if you're interested in truth, monetary, there's nothing of this world that is worth that. Because when I come in front of God, I will have to give an account, as we each will. And I'm sorry, there is not a price. I'm sorry, when you, when I signed up to be a mom, you know, I was blessed to be a mom. That's the package deal. There's not a stepping off, you know, place to get. And the things that we've endured, I wrote something down that said, you know, you don't know the strength of Christ until the strength of Christ is all you have. And that's been in the middle of the night. The financial benefits, I'm not sure, Hank, and that's, I guess it's going to be quite public knowledge now, but my son is a Medicaid recipient in the state of Ohio, which means he cannot have assets. So as co-author, the assets that would normally go to him, I'm not sure where they're at. He has not gotten any extra equipment for the finances. We live a pretty modest life. I'm not sure where the funds are, I guess. I've asked some individuals directly, but I'm not privy to seeing financial records.
We're talking to Beth Malarkey. This is an incredible story, and one of the things that Beth talks about in a post is that Alex is the only one who has endured not only a horrific set of injuries, but has endured having his journey capitalized on. His struggles are, and this is in all caps, again written by Beth, not past tense, nor is the story. And then says Beth, what I have walked through with Alex over the past 9 years has nearly broken me personally and spiritually. I have wept so deeply for what I have watched my children go through. And I should mention that Beth is the mother of four beautiful children, Aaron, Alex, Gracie, and Ryan. And then she says that she's been made aware of how biblically illiterate she was, which allowed me to be deceived. And then you say, quite candidly, Beth, I probably enjoyed more ear tickling than I am still even aware of, and for that I repent and have experienced deep sorrow. There are many who are scamming and using the Word of God to do it. They're pretty good at it, especially if you're not digging into the Bible and studying it for yourself. This is a story I want to get back to when we come back from the break. The story of what you have walked through as a mother, and the story of peace in the midst of the storm. Because the biblical motif is never a magic bullet. It is never that as Christians we can get rid of our suffering. The biblical story is that during the deepest, darkest night of the soul, the Lord not only walks beside us, but He carries us as little lambs. And that's the real story about Beth and Alex Malarkey. They are going through a journey. And the ultimate solution in that journey is the hope of resurrection. And that is the ultimate solution for each and every one of us. We'll be right back.
We will all spend eternity somewhere, so it's only natural to want to know more about your final destination. Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences gives you scriptural answers to your most pressing questions. And it's our thank you when you give today to support more of the Bible Answer Man broadcasts and other CRI resources you love. call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give your gift and request your copy today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. C.S. Lewis once said, "Enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. As dozens of spiritual and moral indicators make increasingly clear each and every day, the American church is surrendering hard-won ground to the forces of secularism and atheism. The sad and alarming truth is that enemy-occupied territory is expanding. The good news is that growing numbers of Christians are painfully awakening to these brutal realities. Unless we join together to mount a great campaign of sabotage, our children and grandchildren will reap the exceedingly bitter harvest of our indifference and apathy. To enlist in a growing army of committed Christians willing to take a stand for life and truth, go online now to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. To ignore the danger of aggression is simply to invite it. We shall doom our children to a struggle that may take their lives. So spoke one of America's greatest World War II figures, General Omar Bradley. Although aggression in many parts of our world today, Syria, Crimea, Afghanistan, and Sudan, to name only a few, is blatantly physical, the greatest threat to Americans today is arguably spiritual. In fact, a relentless assault on life, truth, and even common decency is eroding the very foundations of a nation that was once a bright light to the world. Sadly, many Christians seem either to be surrendering the fort without firing a shot in defense, or simply slumbering through the conflict unaware of the moral threat. To take a stand for life and truth, as both are under attack, go online now to equip.org and make a generous gift today. That's equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are talking to Beth Malarkey on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. She's the mother of Alex Malarkey, and of course, many of you now know that there is a New York Times bestseller out titled The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. It's subtitled A Remarkable Account of Miracles, Angels, and Life Beyond This World. And then in big letters, it says on the cover, A True Story. And the authors are Kevin and Alex Malarkey. And one of the things that Beth has asked me to do is please not tell anybody that Alex is the author of this book, because he simply is not the author of this book, nor does this book represent his experiences. The experiences are greatly embellished and twisted. And one of the reasons that we're talking about this is because Beth is a hero of the faith. I'll say it plainly. If you've listened to her in the first two segments of this show, she's pointed out that the real issue is not a subjective experience, but what does Scripture say? And those who laud Scripture in a time where experience is trumping the exegesis of Scripture are heroes of the faith in the present day. If you go to the World Wide Web at equip.org, you'll see several articles on near-death experiences that I've written. One of those articles is titled, Heaven is Real, But Heaven is For Real, I'm talking about the book, is Really Not. Another article you'll find on the web at equip.org has to do with this very book that is the subject of today's show, and is the story behind the story. And again, you'll find both articles on the web at equip.org. And as has been mentioned on this broadcast many times, in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, questions are answered with respect to near-death experiences. Now, let me be clear, and I was clear in my book. I do not doubt that people have actual subjective experiences. But that is precisely the point. Subjective experiences are notoriously unreliable, and therefore, as Beth has made clear on this broadcast and elsewhere, they must always be tested in light of an objective frame of reference, which in the historic Christian faith is the Bible. And therefore, Colt and Burpo may genuinely believe that, as he said on radio interviews and television interviews, that God has yellow hair and big wings, but we do well to test everything and hold fast to that which is good. And let me say one other thing before I bring back Beth. When we talk about heaven, it involves our earth, these fields, these mountains, these rivers, our space united as one with the glory of God. It is God's sacred space and our purified place, a glorious whole. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. And then there will no longer be a curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And even that is metaphorical language, because while we will experience Jesus face to face, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And to see God face to face means that you know him in his essence, and that is what we are designed for. So the notion that heaven is up there somewhere and people already have glorified bodies is decidedly unbiblical. When you die, you're absent from the body, present with the Lord. And you're awaiting the time that Jesus appears a second time, and then the soul returns to the body, and then we're resurrected. Immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15 makes plain. Now, let me point out that Beth Malarkey says that the story is not a true story. The book says it is a true story. How does she know it's not a true story? Well, she knows it's not a true story because she is doing what we are asking everybody to do, test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good. And Beth, I think that's one of the most compelling things about your testimony on this broadcast. It is that you have acknowledged that you were biblically illiterate, and when you're biblically illiterate, you can fall for anything. And therefore, you have given all of us the impetus to go back to the Word of God.
Well, and I think the, Alex is 16. Again, I don't want, you know, he's quite able to articulate for himself. But that's one of the things, too, keeping in mind, you know, he was a young boy. And so now it's, as a young boy, whatever he did or didn't say, I wrote something on my blog that said something like that. Well, so if you find out he said it, and then he says something different now, are you going to still believe the story that you were told? Or are you going to go, well, I'm mad at him because he lied? Or you know, so there's that kind of, where are you getting your bearings from? Well, when you go to the Word of God and it says, this couldn't have happened, this isn't accurate, this isn't what the Word says. Like you said, it's a subjective experience. There's some things, you know, you're not sure, so you go to the Word of God. This is what he says. And, you know, Satan disguised himself as an angel of light, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks good. It sounds good. It sounds authentic. And, you know, these words I've heard before, you only need to know slightly more than the person you're talking to make them think you know a lot and that you're accurate. And the funny thing is God's been just so incredible, that merciful, that he did pull me out of that deception. And the individuals that I listen to for biblical instruction, you still take it back to the Word, no matter who, what man says it. But it's funny that in these past few years, at least maybe my, you know, it's like the car that you don't see, and then when you see it everywhere. But it's kind of one of those things, like those Bible instructors, you being one, you know, expository teachers, those that have been known for their solid biblical teaching, that individuals have looked to, you know, what that person says or what this person says, they know their Word. They've studied a long time. They don't, you know, it doesn't mean that they can't be off somewhere or there's not disagreement on secondary, you know, issues or things like that. But you're saying now, all of a sudden, we have this genre of books come along that a little 4-year-old or 6-year-old or somebody, you know, decides to write this book, which happens to make them very wealthy. And then, you know, and the implication is there. I know, I've been listening to, you know, I can't judge their motives. God, you know, Holy Spirit will judge that. But it certainly, you know, that it's very apparent that there's wealth to be gained by these books. Suddenly we're looking to these individuals, and I've even, if you read like on Heaven is for Real fan page, and I had seen it on the Boy Who Came Back from Heaven fan page, although now those have all disappeared. I'm not sure where all those posts went to, but I'd pulled off some, and I have some like printed out, and they would say things like, well, I'm so glad because I looked in the scriptures and I didn't see it there, but then I saw that Colton saw it. Or, you know, I saw Alex saw, you know, it's kind of one of those, whoa, wait a minute. You didn't see it in Scripture, and then you go to this book, and that book has it, so therefore, oh, it must be true now.
You know, there's something else that you alluded to, Beth, that I thought was very insightful, and that is the fact that there are pastors that are saying, look, this book is blessing others. And you say the fact that someone says it's blessing others, even as a pastor, is missing the point. The question is it right or wrong? Is it true or not true? And you point out that saying it's blessing others just becomes a justification of that which is wrong.
Well, and it gets into that positive confession. This is one of the stories I've just shared recently because, you know, I had that. So for whoever's listening, I've been there. I've had a taste of that. You know, you're sitting there and you know, the speaking in tongues and that's, you know, a whole other thing. But the positive confession, name it, claim it, you know, you're not allowed to have any negativity. So here's my Alex. you know, and he's struggling to breathe. I mean, you know, we're having to put him on a hospital ventilator versus his home ventilator, and I've never seen a ventilator was a ventilator, you know, but basically it's life support. And so his life support system at home isn't supporting him enough, so I take him to the hospital on a helicopter. I don't fly. I told God I don't like to fly. And I've gone on a helicopter, I think, 4 times now. So I had to get over that one. But we get to the hospital, and he gets put on the hospital vent. And you're watching this kid unable to move from the, you know, not even able to move his head much, and struggling to breathe, and they're just trying to tell him, well, we need to do this, Alex, and he's trying to fight whatever he can, and you're watching this kid struggle. This is why others are writing on pages saying, what a blessed boy, what a blessed boy. Now, the interesting thing is it's not blessed because of his relationship with Jesus Christ and his salvation is assured. The blessing is because they think that he's had a special glimpse into some place that they want to see, or a special extra bit of knowledge that maybe he could tell them. And I gave the story that I was following a person's journey one time, and it was a mom. It was so as poignant is a word, is that she knew that she was taking her son to the hospital to die. He had cancer. And on the way to the hospital, he laid his head down in her lap and went to sleep. And when they went to the hospital, they knew they were going to harvest his organs. You walk into that room with that mom and you tell her she needs to be positive. Guess what, Hank? The positive confession preachers won't be there. And at that moment, they just feel pain, and rightly so.
We're going to have to leave it at that because we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Beth, if you'll hang on, I want to continue talking to you after I sign off from the show. A remarkable story, a remarkable woman, a remarkable testimony. And let me tell you, if there's a book, we've been talking about the real book. Again, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. C.S. Lewis once said, enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. As dozens of spiritual and moral indicators make increasingly clear each and every day, the American church is surrendering hard-won ground to the forces of secularism and atheism. The sad and alarming truth is that enemy-occupied territory is expanding. The good news is that growing numbers of Christians are painfully awakening to these brutal realities. Unless we join together to mount a great campaign of sabotage, our children and grandchildren will reap the exceedingly bitter harvest of our indifference and apathy. To enlist in a growing army of committed Christians willing to take a stand for life and truth, go online now to equip.org. That's equip.org.